It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. He joins us every week, Thursdays at 3 o'clock. It's not 3 o'clock, it's 3:30. But, Sheil, when we get Kurt Warner, a true footballsman, to explain to us what's going on, we got to move you, so we appreciate you moving back to 3:30.
I'm okay with getting bumped for Kurt Warner. I'm not okay with the music change. I mean, for 2 to 3 years, I've had the same song, Astronaut. When I come on, it gets me in the right mindset to do these things. And now you guys change it up. So that better be a one-week thing, or I'm not coming on next week.
Well, it's a 3 o'clock thing more than it is a Sheil thing, but we'll make sure you get what you deserve.
Oh, my God. What a hard way to find that out. It had more to do with the time and not my vibe.
Well, and were you a Nickelbacksman, you know, back in the day?
I was not. I mean, I know that song. I've heard the songs, but no, that never made it on a, you know, Capadia Burn CD.
Okay.
CD, yes.
Sheil, by the way, is sponsored by Dr. Raffi and Precision Hair Restoration. You'll keep losing your hair until you stop it, Sheil. Dr. Raffi can help you get your confidence back. PhillyHairMD.com.
We always talk about how Sheil's losing his confidence.
Listen, I say take that, Kurt Warner. I still get the hair sponsorship. So
yep,
go.
Absolutely. So, Sheil, before we get to the offense, I guess just a general, hey, what do you think of Nick Sirianni question is a good way to lead it off.
Yeah, Nick Sirianni temperature check every single week. I mean, man, they have packed a lot into 6 weeks, you know.
And sure have.
It feels like a whole season's worth. You know, I just feel like Nick Sirianni coming into the season, what Jeffrey Lurie, what ownership, what their hope was that he would just kind of manage the entire thing and not be the story. And it just feels like every week, you know, what you guys are talking about, I'm sure, on every Monday afternoon, the hottest topic has been Nick Sirianni. So it just feels like they need to calm everything down. And, you know, it's the head coach is doing. You know, that could have just been a sleepy October game where you say, hey, they won. It wasn't pretty. It's okay. Those games happen. And instead, the whole storyline from the week changes because of some of the things he did there after the game. So that's kind of where I'm at with the head coach right now.
Well, it also does, and we'll get to your prediction later in the call, but it does put a different sort of pressure on Sunday's game. It would have been a big game regardless, but I think all of this has put that game in a little bit different context than we would have had normally.
And it's like every game now. I mean, I was thinking any game that they lose or doesn't look good the rest of the season, it's like you guys can predict what the conversation's going to be. You know, even if the defense doesn't play well or Jalen Hurts doesn't play well, it just feels like the Sirianni thing has taken on a life of its own. And I will say part of that has to, you know, the Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman, when they decide, hey, we're going to change the coordinators, we're going to bring Nick Sirianni back, everyone knows the stakes of the season and what he needs to do to come back. In some ways, this was probably a little bit predictable. Not to this degree, but a little bit.
Yeah, he's sort of, I've said, he's almost like a lame duck coach who isn't on a lame duck contract to a certain extent. And that's the sort of, you know, atmosphere we have around it. So yeah. Sheil, much of the conversation, poor defense. Defense goes out, doesn't allow a touchdown. We just talk about the offense all week. But a lot of the conversation has been about the offense. Are there any positive signs to what you're seeing with the Eagles offense? And then on the second part of that is, do you put the fact that it looks so similar on the coaches, or do you put it on Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, I think there are some positive signs, because when you look at it, the way they played last week, it's not going to work every week. It's not always going to look pretty, but at the same time, it is a talented roster. And so against a lot of teams in the NFL, if your plan A is, hey, every time A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith gets a one-on-one on the outside, throw it up to them and create some explosive plays, like that is going to work some weeks. Not every week, and I'm not saying that's the way you should play every week, but it's like, you know, that as a plan A can create some explosive plays. So I think that's a positive. The other big positive for me last week was Jalen Hurts didn't put the ball in harm's way. And it's not just that he didn't have turnovers. It's that, you know, the decision-making, he didn't have kind of those turnover-worthy plays where the defense drops it or he's hanging around in the pocket and you feel like he's going to fumble the football. So, again, I'm not trying to paint this as, hey, everything's okay. The offense is going to be great, but I think those are a couple positives to take away from it. And then the question about what the offense looks like, you know, I do think it's a combination, and that's not a cop-out. But when you look at it, Jalen Hurts has now played under three different offensive coordinators, and he's constantly, consistently not targeting the middle of the field at a high rate. In fact, he's targeting the middle of the field at the lowest rate in the NFL. So at some point, you have to say that probably has more to do with the quarterback than the offensive scheming.
Yeah, and that's coming from me, from a guy who has been defending Jalen, really, and putting more pressure on Kellen Moore about trying to adapt his offense to Jalen. That may be exactly what they've done, and this is what we have, because this is what Jalen sort of likes to run that makes him feel comfortable. Let me ask you this, Shield. Moving forward, because I think with Jalen, if he can play clean football, I'm not saying he's not going to turn the ball over again the rest of the season. That's just unfair to put that on him. But the majority of his games have to be clean games, and I think they'll win the majority of the games. If he plays better, I think the team wins.
Yeah, he's got a specific formula. Now, I think that the more we learn about him, there is a specific version of Jalen Hurts that you need. And there's, like, you know, three components to it. One is, I think he's got to hit those big plays downfield. I don't think you know, this is a station to station type offense in the passing game. They can do that in the run game, but you've got to create explosive plays in the passing game. And he throws a good deep pass. We've seen that over the years. So that's number one. Two is the short yardage stuff. I think this has kind of been a little undersold. You know, I know I at least thought coming into the season, hey, are they going to be able to run the brotherly shove as effectively as they did when Jason Kelce was here? And if you remember after week one, we're all going, shoot, this doesn't look the same as it did with Kelce. Well, since then, it's been a weapon for them again. I mean, they ran it, what, four times last week, and every time you convert. And I think that's something we can't take for granted, because you look around the NFL, some of these teams, when it's third and one, they're trying to draw something up on the, you know, whiteboard and create, and it looks really ugly, and it leads to them messing up in high leverage situations. And then the last thing is what you mentioned, like, he's got to be a low turnover guy. You know, there are some quarterbacks in the NFL, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, they can get away with turning the football over because what they're doing on the other plays, they're just like, they're making up for it. You can live with the high risk, high reward type play. I don't think Jalen Hurts is that type of quarterback. So this has to be a part of the formula with him. So again, a lot of that we did see last week. I think that's a version of Jalen Hurts that can work for this football team.
By the way, Josh Allen still hasn't thrown an interception this year, as far as I can tell.
Wow.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. There you go.
So, defensively, how much of the Eagles did not allow a touchdown defensively? How much of that performance is how bad the Browns are, and how much of that performance is how well the Eagles played?
Yeah, I don't think you can learn a whole lot from it, given the Browns quarterback and their offensive line. At the same time, we've watched a lot of Eagles games over the years where you go in and you say, man, they're playing this terrible offense, and next thing you know, you're giving up 24 points, and you're like, wait a minute, this was supposed to be a terrible offense. So I don't want to give them no credit. I mean, you don't allow a touchdown in an NFL game. That's certainly an accomplishment. And I think we learned some things where Vic Fangio, maybe during the bye week, looked at his personnel and said, hey, there's some things we can change here, because they play a lot of man coverage in that game. I think it was over 50%. It was their highest rate of man coverage the entire season. And I just kind of look at how the football team is built, and as we learn about their strengths and weaknesses, cornerback looks like a strength right now with Quinyon Mitchell and Darius Slay. I mean, those guys have played well this season. They can cover. I think you can leave them in man coverage a little bit more, and then you can commit some more bodies to the pass rush, because the pass rush is underwhelmed overall, not last week, but overall. And so that's something I wonder, was that a one-week thing, or is that something we might continue to see here going forward?
Shiel Kapadia with us. Shiel, I hate to ask you this, but the Eagles play the Giants on Sunday, and we need to know who you think is going to win.
I know. I hate to answer this as well. But listen, there are just – I don't feel great about this Eagles team right now. Just they've been too up and down. There's nothing has been calm about the way they've played, and they've got the injury at left tackle. I think this is going to be an ugly game, and I worry about this offensive line against that Giants pass rush that leads the NFL in sacks right now. And so, Jack, get the boo button ready.
Oh, no.
Because I actually think the Giants win this football game. I've got Giants 23, Eagles 20.
Shiel.
Yeah.
Come on,
they're going to win now.
Yeah. Nah, Shields been pretty good this year, actually.
I've been 4-1. Listen, yeah. I'm not always going to be good, but so far I've been pretty good this year.
All right, Shiel. Well, you can go back to singing Nickelback. We're going to go back to the radio show.
All right, brother.
All right, guys.
There he is.
Talk to you next week.
Shiel Kapadia of The Ringer. The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers, the official jeweler of you. If you're looking to get engaged, shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with rings for every budget online at marks-jewelers.com. We have two Twitter questions today. First one being, is Sunday's game against the Giants a must-win? That stays at 86%. Say
yeah,
yes.
I'm sure that's yes.
And the who has the more iconic fist pump, Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan? Tiger Woods stays at 69%.
Interesting.
Wow. You can't make decisions based on Twitter polls.
Yeah.
Hashtag John Middleton, yeah. But yeah.
I was going to say, hold on, we got Bryce.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. That's yes. A pretty good one. Steven Westchester, you're on WIP. What's up, Steve?
Like Spike and Reese, how are we doing today?
Well,
close enough. Mm. What's up, Steve?
Yep, that's what we should call the
Jack
show.
Fritz has issues.
Whoops, sorry about that.
Nah, that's all good.
Who's Jack Fritz?
I just wanted to make a quick Kurt Warner comment. I've been to hundreds of Eagles games, and I just remember this one play in particular where – after the ball was snapped, there was a million people running across the middle, and he threw this ball, and I couldn't – the next thing I know, this guy, Torrey Holt, catches the ball running across the middle and runs down the sidelines for a touchdown. It was the most amazing thing. There was like a million people. He threw it into a crowd of a million people. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. But
you know, that team, I don't know what the numbers are, but my the way I remember it is that team had more – yards after the catch than any team I've ever seen in my entire life. You know, it was just every catch that the ball was exactly in. You know, he threw the guy open, mm-hmm. and the guy had just yards in front of him. Like that's the way I remember that offense.
Yeah, that was the first. It was the first game. Like you might remember, it was the first game of the season at home.
Yeah,
and we should have won that game. And I remember people were happy.
We lost in overtime, I think, right?
I remember it was a tough loss, and people were like, oh, well, they won the Super Bowl. And I was like, I don't care. We should have won the game.
Yeah.
Remember, it was a tough, tough loss, man.
Yep.
I guess we could all agree that back in 2022, Jalen was at his best when we did the ride and decide. The coordinator's job to utilize, you know, the talents, but I think once Jalen lost a step, you know, the ride and decide was over, you know, it was done. And now we're trying to get all these coordinators to change Jalen, you know, trying to get a guy to change something he's did his whole entire life, and he's having a big-time problem with it. I know they want to keep Jalen healthy, you know what I mean, but he lost a step. But is there any way that they could incorporate the ride and decide a little more to open up, you know, open up something besides sideline routes? You know what I mean?
I don't think the ride and decide works as well anymore.
Yeah.
Defenses have caught up to it.
Well, we see it with our eyes when they do it. I'm watching it going, you ain't fooling anybody. Yeah. Who are you fooling?
Just not fast enough anymore.
Well, it does seem like so one change I've noticed from earlier in the year till now from Jalen running is earlier in the year he was trying to run on the outside. It felt like they were trying to get him
on the edges.
And it does seem like those runs, at least the planned ones, and there were a couple of them, are more inside the tackles than they are outside the tackles. And that will take advantage of his strength, I think, and not put him at the, you know, and not put him at that disadvantage as he's trying to run around the edge a little bit, you know.
Because he lost a step, exactly. That's a good point.
Well, by the way, just one last thing. Kurt did make the point that RPO stuff, you don't need a mobile quarterback to have that be a threat. Mm-hmm. Now, but you do need a guy who can make that decision quickly and get rid of the ball and go through those and know where he's going with the ball. They ran a ton of RPO stuff with Nick, you know, with Nick Foles. We remember, we switched the offense to that for Nick. It's very Chip Kelly-ish, you know, but whatever, it's just not working anymore. You can see it when we watch them, it's not working anymore.
Yes, and it's Jalen's having a hard time, you know, trying to switch his game up. It's a shame. I hope he can do it.
Next question today, is give us a face of the 2000s. The best one will get tickets to go see the Disturbed, The Sickness 25th anniversary tour at the Wells Fargo Center. Give us a face of the 90s, or the 2000s, rather.
I'm going to have to go with Ike's boy, Denzel.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, yeah,
fair.
Denzel had a lot of good movies
in
the 2000s.
That's fair.
He may be the actor of the 2000s. Will Ferrell, no disrespect.
Big answer.
But he's not an actor.
Now, Leo had a great 2000s.
Yep.
Pitt, now I'm a Pittsman, but Pitt had a great 2000s.
Yep.
For sure. But Denzel did have monumental roles in the 2000s as well.
Was Remember the Titans 90s?
No, that's 2000s.
No, oh, okay.
Yep.
And what, now Matrix is 90s or is Matrix 2000s?
Nah, I haven't seen it.
Well, because you haven't seen The Matrix?
No.
Did you see The Matrix?
Nah.
Keanu Reeves, between Matrix
that was
and
90s,
Speed.
I believe, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
They're both 90s. Speed and Matrix.
I think it started in the 90s.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I could be wrong, though. Because Matrix might have been, it could have been 2000, 2001.
I think it might have been 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves had a good run there.
He did.
Speed was...
He had like a five-year run.
Yes. Good. And now he has...
Speed was a good movie. He was a terrible actor in Speed.
But he makes it work. He makes a terrible actor. And
Dennis Hopper.
Yeah. Dude, Where's My Car is the 90s. But now Keanu has the... what's it called? The movies he's in now that are awesome.
What's he in?
John Wick?
John Wick.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen a John Wick.
Oh, you got to see John Wick. No. Trust me? Oh, you get out of here. I don't trust your opinion on anything, Jack. John Wick's awesome.
Matrix was 1999.
There
also
you go.
Was right there. And then you had the sequel. And then
yeah, they were
03, right?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Hunter, you're still there. Good one, Hunter. There you go.
No, Stephen Westchester.
Oh, so I just hung up on Hunter?
Yeah, he said bye-bye to Hunter.
Oh. Do I call Hunter back? Do you have Hunter's number?
No, Hunter, why don't you call back?
Call us back, Hunter. Yeah. Call us back. Raji in Philly, you're on WIP. What's up, Raji? Oh, no, I just saw the topic here. What's going on?
What's up, Spike, man? What's up, Ike?
What's up, Raji?
Hey, man, just loving what you guys are talking about. I have a great 2000 nominee, but I
just want
to say there's two things that I want to bring up about Philadelphia, the three teams. One, our star players are getting old in the Philly Sixers and Eagles, and I think we missed our mark the past couple of years.
I'm going to put Raji, I'm going to put you on hold because his phone.
Yeah.
His phone sucks. That's on, you know, the Hunter thing is on me. Yeah. The Raji thing is on technology.
Raji, yeah.
Here we go. Hunter in Southampton. Hunter, you're on WIP.
Dude, first of all, man, you hung up on me.
I apologized already. I'm sorry, Hunter.
Louise is booty, dog. Come on.
Jeez Louise, man. All right.
Dude, in serious note, you can't even say for a second that it's not Jalen, all right? Everybody I talk to, it's Jalen. The man cannot read a defense to save his life, all right? It's insane watching him. Not to mention when he drops back, it's like he's waiting for a soup and a salad at a deli. He's just hanging out. The ball comes out in like 4 seconds. You watch Allen or any of these other guys, ball's coming out so fast and on a line. You have the two best wide receivers in the league, and this is what you're doing? Dude, I don't even know what to say anymore. It is so hard to watch Philadelphia sports at this point, especially with the team that should be putting up 30 points a game without a problem. Tell me I'm wrong.
Nah, you're right.
I'm not going to tell you you're wrong.
Yeah,
you came
right.
to the wrong place, bro.
Yeah. It's insanity. You have one of the best running backs in the league. You give him the ball, what, like three times in the first half? He has 5 yards on the first carry, and you stop running the ball? Dude, I don't even know what to say anymore. What? Like, I got a lot of respect for you, man.
Yeah.
I love hearing you. Love hearing what you had to say, but just, dude, tell me it's not Jalen.
No, I can't tell you that it's not Jalen for certainty. I can't. Listen, we've been batting this around for weeks now about the offense and what's going on with it. And, hell, you listen to us. You've heard me place the blame on Kellen Moore and wanting him to do things differently. But the more and more people look at the offense and they look at what's going on and they're talking about how it's very similar to in years past, I don't know how you can't come to the conclusion that the offense still looks the same because that's what he likes to run and that's what he feels comfortable running.
Professional athlete, do you have to step up and go, all right, it's time to get uncomfortable. Didn't he say the playbook is like 90% different or some nonsense?
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, he's apparently not great at percentages either. Because
where is the truth lying at? All right.
Well, he did say that in the spring, don't
yes.
right?
Yes. Summer.
Summer, yeah.
Summer, yeah.
Where's the truth lying at? It obviously is not in it, okay? My mom used to tell me this, right? It used to be a little different, obviously. She said, if you meet 10 buttholes in one day, chances are you're the butthole, all right? This is the third offensive coordinator. It's always him, dude. It's got to be. I can't. If they lose this game this weekend, I'm probably going to stop watching them for the rest of the year.
No, you're not.
Serious. Yes.
You're lying.
We're not going to lose the game Sunday.
We might. Yeah.
We're not going to lose
Shields
the game Sunday.
Shields us.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen. I didn't say it was going to be a blowout. I just said we're not going to win the game. We're not going to lose.
Hey, dude, if they don't run the ball 25 times with that with the best, one of the best running backs in the league, then
I don't care, but I don't care, Hunter. I don't care how good the running back is. If the defense decides that they don't have to worry about the passing game, you can stop a running game. I don't care. We look at what we did to the Saints.
I understand that, but the thing is, okay, so last 2 weeks ago, right, when you had, you know, Gleek Blop and the floopy doops in at wide receiver, they didn't create too much separation. Now you got two of the guys who can get open, you know, even on man coverage. There should still be a way to do both, you know, run the ball and get the passing game going. It shouldn't be this.
Well, they
shouldn't be as hard.
Yeah.
Although I will say this, they were playing a very good defense.
Yes, they were. They were. And a defense that is probably.
That's not true. They were playing an offense that a Pee Wee football team could stop.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. They were playing a defense that's our old defensive coordinator. I'm not gonna throw dirt on his name. He's running a good defense over there.
Mm-hmm.
What did we score? 20 points?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. 20 points and you stall constantly. First three drives, constant stalls. First drive, what do we have? Who's that dude on ESPN say we got like 22 yards in the first three drives?
Yeah, that's an unbelievable stat, honestly.
Well, and Hunter, the other thing is, if the defense is doing its job, the offense certainly has a number of chances from a field position perspective, mm-hmm. from all that. So, Hunter, give us a face of the 2000s.
Dude, Brad Pitt, yo. Come on.
I love it.
Brad Pitt.
He's probably not going to win because... Yeah, I'm
Legends
telling
of the Fall, that was a 90s movie.
Fight Club
was
2000.
I was going to say Eminem, too, because he was so popping in the
2000s. That's what a question.
Yeah, questions based on Eminem. Mm-hmm. So, happy birthday, Eminem. How old was Eminem?
8 Mile.
He's 52.
52. Oh, there you go.
By the way, yep. Fight Club, 1999.
Yeah.
1999 is basically 2000.
Oh, we round up? Okay.
It
is basically. Basically. All right.
What's his best movie in the 2000s? You overrate Brad Pitt.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Kind of.
No, I don't. Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
What is his best movie in the 2000s?
He's an underrated actor. He is.
Okay, what's his best movie in the 2000s?
Let me look and let me decide what his best movie of the 2000s is.
All right.
Here's the other thing I'll say about Brad Pitt. Even if he's in a bad movie, when Brad Pitt is on the screen, the movie's, he is good.
Used
in every
to be.
Movie. No, still.
You better not bring up Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Awful movie.
I love Meet Joe Black, and I do love Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And by the way, I also thought he was
best
great.
Best movie's Ocean's 11 in the 2000s.
Speaking of recently, Brad Pitt was in the Quentin Tarantino movie. I always say, it's not Los Angeles. What is it called?
Oh, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He was awesome.
Didn't see it.
I did not see it either.
See, you guys get out of here.
I'll
decide what the best Brad Pitt role.
Troy.
Don't you do it.
Troy.
Get out of here.
Inglorious, whatever.
Inglorious Bastards is awesome.
I did see that.
He was awesome that in that.
Yeah, it's all right.
No, get out of here.
Seven was his best movie.
Seven was awesome,
yes,
too.
Yes, that was in the 90s, though.
Okay, he had great movies in the 2000s.
He was washed in the 2000s.
No,
once Angelina Jolie got a hold of him, he was washed.
Look at him. He made Angelina Jolie. Coming up next.
Okay.
One of the.
You're talking about 7 years in Tibet.
But that was also a good movie. I just, like, he's good. All right. Coming up next, Mike Lombardi joins us. Wow, I can't wait to ask Mike. Here's the first question I'm going to ask Mike. Mike, imagine you're the general manager of a football team and your head coach does that on Sunday. Please let us know.
Oh, wow.
As many questions as I can ask him to get him off the Sixers. That's what's going to be next. That is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Great news. there's never been a better time to make the move to Verizon. Now, get over $500 in value and savings when you have mobile and Fios with Verizon. Plus, Fios 1 gig plan comes with a 4-year price guarantee. Save $300 annually on your Fios internet bill. Plus, for a limited time, you can get a $200 Verizon gift card when you sign up for a Fios 1 gig plan and use it to pay your Fios bill. That's like getting 3 months of free Fios home internet. And you can't miss out on that. Stop by your nearest Verizon location for details on this limited time offer and learn how you can get over $500 in value and savings today.